Welcome to A Rational Take with Rachel Pishtek. Spoiler alert, I'm Rachel Pishtek, a podcast where we... DJ Khaled! You might be wondering what the hell is happening. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this week you're getting a good and fresh bonus episode of A Rational Take, where I recap the premiere episode of Teen Mom OG featuring the Palin family.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be in Iowa. We're here just thawing out. Mr. Trump, you're right. Look back there in the press box. Yeah. Heads are spinning.
Yeah.
Funny. Ha-ha. Not funny. Ha-ha.
Yeah.
They can't afford to see the status quo go. No! Right wing and bitter clinging, proud clingers.
I can see Russia from my house.
That's right. According to MTV, America's most famous teen mom has joined the cast of Teen Mom OG. And MTV, I have some words for you. America's most famous teen mom is my friend Kara Hestalin, so how dare you? But yes, I wanted to recap this first episode, which is actually from last week, because like most of the United States, I am completely intrigued and confused by the Palin family ever since Sarah Palin ran alongside John McCain in 2008. So, some background, the Palin family consists of 7 members, Todd and Sarah, the mom and dad, parents, as well as their 5 children, Bristol, Track, Willow, Trig, and Piper. Bristol and Track are the 2 oldest and probably most known for 1, Bristol's teen pregnancy, and 2, Track's weird name and his many run-ins with the law. Most recently, Track, whose name, well, is far less weird than Trig, was sentenced to 1 year in custody after an assault arrest. And that's according to completely reliable and not sensationalized at all Us Weekly. But actually, Track will be going to jail after reportedly hitting a woman in the head when she tried to leave his home. Anyway, back to Bristol. Bristol Palin is a mother of 3 children. Trip, what is with this family and these verb names? Sailor and Atlee. Bristol had Tripp at age 18 with her high school boyfriend and has since married and is now actually divorcing the biological father of her 2 daughters, Dakota Meyer. That's pretty much all I know about Bristol Palin, and I'm assuming I will learn more about her once I watch the episode. I looked up an article about the teen moms called Everything You Need to Know About the Upcoming Season of Teen Mom OG, and I literally learned nothing. There were lots of words like The Challenge and Vendetta and Macy. I guess I just have to watch to figure out what I'm getting myself into.
Let's just jump into.
So we start out with a recap of last season, none of which I understood because, I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, I've never watched the show before. Lots of names like Macy, Mackenzie, Bentley, lots of crying, lots of talking about drug tests, a woman named Amber with a severe bun yells at a guy with glasses and a unique ring, and she finds out she's having a baby boy with a different glasses guy, and then a girl with a pink highlight smiles at her. Caitlin goes to the doctor with some awesome bangs and is certain she wants to get her IUD taken out, and then tells her husband she's pregnant by putting a little girl, who I assume is related to them somehow, in a I'm going to be a big sister t-shirt. The husband cries while a gray-haired man tells him that he's not sober, and then Caitlin announces that she's actually had a miscarriage and is having struggles with her own mental health, which is super heartbreaking. Then we switch to Farrah Abraham, who I'm aware of, and a representative from MTV, like a producer or something, is telling her that if she chooses to pursue a career as an adult film star, she can no longer be featured on the show, and then Farrah yells a lot. And then we get into the new moms. First of all, Bristol And it shows a lot of arguments between Bristol and her husband, followed by Cheyenne, another one of the new moms, telling him a guy I'm assuming she's romantically involved with, that she just wants to be a MILF in front of her children, which, I mean, relatable. And so far, there are lots of names, lots of tears, and lots of uniquely named children. So we start in Tennessee with Macy and her husband Taylor, and we learn that Macy is only communicating with Ryan's mom, the baby daddy of their kid Bentley's grandma. We then find out that Ryan has called Taylor, who by the way has a terrible beard and it's kind of disturbing, but not as disturbing as them sitting next to a pool, not in chairs, but on the concrete. We find out that Ryan is mad because Taylor tweeted, by the way, his Twitter handle is @tmoney. TMON3YY, this exact tweet, and if it sounds weird, it's because it's not grammatically correct. Okay, are you ready? Here you go. Well, when you have two jobless adults, one of whom is 30 years old and still needs his A**** wiped, what do you, the dinner convos, to be? They should thank Macy for paying their quote-unquote nursing school, .. but that's none of my business. You know, I would be mad too if someone tweeted whom in the correct context, but the rest of their subtweet made absolutely no sense whatsoever. As a result of Ryan's passion for grammar, he tells Taylor that he's going to come to their house and put a bullet through his head. A regular Ward Cleaver. Then we head to Austin, Texas, which, if you're not aware, is my dream city, to find Bristol and Dakota playing with their kids in a very beautiful living room with lots of white and gray, #aesthetic, and we get a quick recap of who Bristol is and some footage of Queen Sarah on the campaign trail. We find out that Dakota has struggled with PTSD after serving in the military, and from there, we quickly move to Arizona for her sister's bachelorette party with not a whole lot of transition, other than they keep showing this rock archway. Is that where she's gonna get married? I hope. Otherwise, what is the point of showing this archway? But anyway, Queen Sarah is there. She is being a right-winging, bitter-clinging, proud clinger of our guns, our God, and our religions. And Queen Sarah is wearing a red, white, and blue light-up necklace. Nothing but respect for my vice president. And we begin listening into a conversation where they talk about how fun she is. I'm going to reenact it for you, and I watched this scene twice. This is compelling TV, you guys. I watched this scene twice to make sure that I wrote everything down correctly. The players in this upcoming scene are Bristol, Piper, the sister who's getting married, and Queen Sarah. Bristol. Piper. Can you believe Mom's here? Piper. No. Bristol. Yeah, I think it's so fun she's here, right? Piper. Yeah. Sarah. Why is it so unusual to have a mom at a bachelorette party? Bristol. I don't think that you usually have moms. Mom, are you having fun? Sarah. I had fun at that biker bar. It was fun at the biker bar. Bristol. That was fun. I'm glad you came. You're fun. Sarah. I'm really fun. So, the myth was proved plausible that Sarah Palin is indeed fun. So, moving on from there, Bristol then reveals that she is shy and awkward and lives the farthest away from the family, which makes it hard to find friends and babysitters. Also, Bristol is getting into real estate and wonders what she's going to tell people when they ask her why she's on Teen Mom. Here's an idea, Bristol. I would say, I was a teen mom. She then says that stories on Teen Mom resonate with her. Resonate. I think that was her attempt at relatability. And she keeps saying this word, resonate, when talking, until Queen Sarah exclaims, Amen! And I'll call that a Palinism. And just in case you're wondering, I think she was trying to say the word resonate. But she literally kept saying resonate. Over and over again. We then go to Caitlin, Tyler, and Nova's house in Michigan. I love that TV shows always announce the names of cities in the states other than the Midwest. Typically, like, okay, we're headed to Nashville, Tennessee, then Austin, Texas, then just Michigan. It's just one big town. After we see Tyler hand Nova a baby turtle, yep, that happened, we see that Caitlin is still at rehab in Arizona. Now, the situation is extremely serious, but the things the show chooses to highlight is very strange, like the baby turtle. And then we see Tyler at lunch with his mom, and he's extremely stressed out about what he's going to order and the unlevel table that they're sitting at. Maybe they're trying to showcase slight inconveniences and their effect on the human condition, especially when dealing with something so serious and stressful, but it comes off as way more patronizing than realistic. Anyway, Tyler talks about how stressed he is, and then right in the middle of it, there's a commercial. We are then headed to another Midwestern state with no city listed, Indiana, to see Amber. She still has her severe bun, and a gray-haired man is rubbing her belly. I don't know who this person is, but he seems very cringe. And Amber insists that her co-parenting with her baby daddy, Gary, is on the right track. Just after that, baby James is born, and that's it. And that's cool that they had a baby, but it wasn't super exciting, so James is up in here. Next, Cheyenne, a new mom, is up, and we are in LA, baby, where we list the names of cities in our states. And she's apparently been on the shows that I also have never seen, Are You the One and The Challenge, where she met her baby daddy, Corey, who claims she looks like Rihanna. But fun fact, Cheyenne, while literally stunningly beautiful, one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, does not look like Rihanna at all, and I just want that to be known. She now has a new boyfriend named Zach, and they're trying to navigate co-parenting, and everyone seems to get along so far. And after seeing a really cute lunch with Cheyenne's family, we see a bro out with Corey and his friends. And Corey is a total babe and discusses how he and Cheyenne are really cool and their daughter needs to come first. And I genuinely really like this situation. It's pretty boring reality TV wise, but they seem to be the most rational family. And that is what we like out here on A Rational Take with Rachel Piszczek. We like rationality, what it is. I'm DJ Khaled. Yay, baby, baby. Okay, so back to Macy. She's showing her kids in the bathtub various animals like parents of toddlers do. And we find out that Macy filed a police report and they will be going to court. For the first time, we meet Ryan's parents who are riding on a golf cart through a golf course and talking about their concerns, which is equally amazing yet completely random. And I can totally tell that they just wanted to go golfing that day but had to fill their obligation of filming for the show. And Ryan's dad was just like, well, come onto the golf course and record it then. And I feel like my parents would do the exact same thing, and I'm absolutely here for it. After hearing about how Dakota got involved in the Marines, we see Amber bring home James. One thing that's really cool about this show, actually, is that we see the producers. A lot of reality TV isn't like that, and we see them interacting with the talent like their friends and family, and I would assume that's the general vibe of most reality shows. I know that the Kardashians have talked about how they're extremely close with the crew of Keeping Up, so this just makes sense to me, and I think more reality shows should do this because they do spend so much time together, so it's really interesting to see them interact with each other and be kind of buddy-buddy, but also see the producers on screen or the camera people on screen ask them real-life questions about, okay, so you just had a baby, how do you feel, blah, 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 just about their lives. And again, I've never watched this show, and I know nothing about it, but this baby daddy Andrew freaks me out. Teen mom watchers, is he weird? He feels weird. And I don't know why, but he just makes me really uncomfortable. He wears a lot of short sleeve button down shirts, and I think that might be why. So then we head back over to the farm and see Caitlin FaceTime Tyler and Nova. And holy cow, does Tyler look like Justin Bieber? He wears a lot of long tunic-style t-shirts and backwards hats. We're halfway through the show and we see Macy and at Team Money go to court. And this show is extremely slow-moving. Like I just said, we just were with Macy and now we're with... Or no, we were just with Caitlin and now we're with Macy. And everything is just so boring. And I'm very bored. And we find out that they got an order of protection from Ryan. And Ryan can see his son, but he has to keep his distance from the Macy and at T-Money and the other kids. And that's it. These last two scenes probably took up like 5 minutes, and I felt like it took 2 hours. This show is so boring. Back in LA, Shine and Corey then meet for a cute lunch with their daughter, where things get heated pretty quickly when discussing whether or not Cheyenne's current boyfriend should be living in the house with her and her daughter. And Corey feels really disrespected and doesn't want their daughter to be confused by who her dad is. And this show is so strange, especially when watching it from the perspective of someone who has a lot of close friends and family that co-parent. And it all just seems so personal, and have I mentioned boring? These conversations are so blah. Like, you could just go to somebody's house, or you could just go sit in a restaurant and just overhear these things. I know that I consume a lot of reality television, and I love reality TV, and some people think that's boring. But I am watching crap where it's like, Shannon is throwing plates at Vicky or Kelly, and people are throwing drinks at each other, or people are going to jail, and the editing is very... This is boring. This is real life, and some people like that, but just go to Applebee's, and you basically have Teen Mom. The cuts that they use for this show, back and forth between families, are so quick and are such crazy points. They cut from a conversation about how Bristol and Dakota had a weird shotgun golf course wedding to Caitlin's anxiety. And both conversations, which needed to be had for context of the show, and those are important conversations to have on national television in general, but the editing is almost disrespectful. Like, after a conversation about Bristol and Dakota talking about his PTSD, they put a pink zebra frame around them and then did an effect where it was like a picture frame breaking. Like, hello? How is this normal or entertaining? Tyler is extremely... Caitlin's husband, by the way. Tyler is extremely vivacious. We see him go to therapy to talk about the resentment that he's building between the two of them. And he also reveals that Caitlin just packed her bags and left for rehab, and there's no discussion between the two of them as a married couple or as a family. And the therapist figures out that something needs to change in the marriage in order for him to want to stay. And Tyler says that he hasn't been happy for a couple of years now. And again, the editing of this show, mid-tissue wipe, he is wiping away his tears. We're back at it again with the cringy hot pink zebra editing. And at first I used to think, like, oh, it's going into a yearbook, and maybe that's what it was when I saw old clips of Teen Mom or 16 and Pregnant back in the day. Keep in mind, I have not watched a full episode, so this is still my original episode I've ever watched. But what is happening is, when a clip is done and they go in and out between commercials, they show someone's legs. So, like, they're sitting on a couch or something, and they're, like, off to the side. And it's like they're closing and opening an iPad case. Ew. So they show him mid-cry, wiping away his tears, talking about how he wants to leave his marriage. Or I shouldn't say leave his marriage, but he's unhappy in his marriage. He's taking care of his baby girl at home by himself. He's got random farm animals running around everywhere. He's in Michigan, the whole state. Not a specific city. He's just in Michigan. His woman is far away in Arizona getting rehab, which they didn't agree on her going back. She was just like, hey, sup, peace, guys, heading back to rehab. I can't do this anymore. Mid-wipe, they show this iPad editing. Is this senior year video production? Hello? And I get that's probably the audience for this show, but that is just so bizarre to me. So then the show ends after an explosive fight between Dakota and Bristol as they're discussing PTSD and the anxiety that Dakota feels because he has nightmares every night seeing the faces of the Marines that he was deployed with, and all of his guys, he sees their faces, which is so heartbreaking and terrifying, and I can't imagine. I'm a person who has gone through very little, if any, none, no trauma. And I have extremely vivid dreams that sometimes wake me up in the middle of the night. But I can't imagine having that feeling every day. And it's amazing that they're showing someone living with that on TV, because it affects a lot of families, a lot of veteran families, and a lot of families that have gone through any sort of trauma or heartbreaking scenario. So it's really great that they're showcasing that and making it a real conversation for people. But my overall thoughts are about the show, that this show is so bizarre, and I haven't been missing anything at all. It's like watching a weird family home movie of a random family where everyone is completely honest about what's going on in their lives. And you feel like, maybe I just feel this way because, one, I've never watched it before, and two, I'm an adult woman. I feel like I shouldn't be seeing this. I feel like this is so personal and so, like, I know I said I watch shows where people are going to jail, but I was talking about, like, Mike, the situation going to jail. Not people who, for, like, a nonviolent crime. Not people who threaten to kill the mother of their children. Or not people who are going through hardcore PTSD because they are the only one who survived in their unit during the war in Afghanistan. Or not people who are leaving their marriage to go to rehab and leaving everything they know behind. Or people who were on bizarre other MTV reality shows and are trying to balance out co-parenting. It just feels really, I feel like I need to take a shower after watching it, because I feel like I shouldn't have heard those conversations. Does that make sense? Like, do you ever accidentally, okay, here's a scenario. Do you remember being a kid and you went someplace with another family, like you went to a movie or something, or you went to the arcade, or you went to swimming lessons, and the parents of your friend, or your friend and their parent, or the kid, a sibling and the parents, they're fighting, and the conversation and the argument gets really, really heated, and even though you're, like, 8 years old, you're like, oh my god, I shouldn't be here for this. This is such an inappropriate thing for me to be overhearing. That's how I felt after watching this show. Like, I felt like I overheard my friend's mom and dad fighting about something really, really serious. So, do I think it's helpful in terms of society and communicating the challenges of teen pregnancy? I'm not sure, because I've never had a child before, and if I would have, I would have been a teen, so I'm not a teen mom. So that's hard for me to answer. However, I do have friends and family that did have children at very young ages, and I'm honestly not quite sure if this is an accurate representation of what they have been experiencing. I mean, some things are more niche than others in terms of the circumstances, but I will say overall, like, the conversations about co-parenting, it's very common if you have a child with somebody at a really young age that you may not be with the other person's biological parent for the rest of your life. So the whole navigation of dating, or who gets which kid on which weekend, and dealing with grandparents and stuff like that, and dealing with anxiety, that's very real. So yes, and maybe it is an accurate depiction. Obviously it's dramatized, but honestly, MTV, you could dramatize it more, because this was boring. My recommendation for the producers is that we need more, significantly more Sarah Palin. Much, much, much more Sarah Palin. The Sarah Palin parts were the only parts that I genuinely enjoyed. Unless there are more Sarah Palin parts, I will not watch the show ever again. And even then, I probably really won't watch it.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be in Iowa. We're here just on out. Mr. Trump, you're right. Look back there in the press box. Heads are spinning. Funny. Ha ha. Not funny. Ha ha.
As I wrote this episode, I realized how hard it is to capture the exciting parts of a TV show that doesn't have any. And if you like this episode of the podcast, thanks. As I went on, I didn't like this episode of the podcast, but that's mostly because the show is dumb. Like, I'm sorry, MTV, I'm sorry, producers, I'm sorry, Morgan J. Freeman. This show is not fun to watch. If you would like for me to recap any other TV shows with a slightly better plot, please let me know. And even if you don't want me to do that, I think I'm going to anyway. the much anticipated season opener of The Real Housewives of New Jersey is coming up. And maybe I could recap some classic episodes of Jersey Shore or other Housewife franchises, Below Deck, etc. Recommend them to me on all my social media, which is at Richie Pishy. And thanks for listening. I love you, and don't watch Teen Mom unless Sarah Palin is there.
Clinging proud clingers, right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers. We need someone who has the power and is in the position to be able to suck up a bomb. To be able to suck up a bomb. Otherwise, they won't be able to be slurping off the gravy train that's been eating them all these years. That's been eating them all these years. Now what they're doing is wailing, well, Trump and his trumpeters, well, they're not conservative enough. We are mad and we've been had. We're not gonna chill. In fact, it's time to drill. Right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers, right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers, right winging, bitter clinging, 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 right.